club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And look, we do have a lot of sport to get to on the show tonight, MG. We're going to be talking with Lucas Big Daddy Brown about his upcoming fight with Paul Gallen. Your ladder continues, but a somber note to begin with, MG.
Yeah, terrible news, Liam, today involving music mogul Michael Gudinski. He's passing. What a man. The tributes have been pouring in for him all over the world. He's one of the our best ever producers of music here in Australia. We went to the Melbourne Cup about 5 or 6 years ago with a grill team, and he was our chaperone, and wow. Wow. To the fellow MG, from all members here at Triple M, Godspeed, brother.
Mm. A man that meant a lot to this station. What he did for music in this country will never be forgotten and will never be replicated either. So to Michael and his family, our thoughts are with you. And a somber start to the show, MG, but we are going to switch gears and get back into the sport. Up next, we're going to talk about the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, MG. Back page of the paper, guard dogs. Kyle Flanagan got beaten up over the weekend, and MG might have something he wants to say directly to those forwards of that football club. But to kick off the show tonight, MG, only fitting that we play a song by a band that Michael Gudinski was at the Enmore watching only Thursday. Just gone. It is, of course, the Oils. Midnight Oil here on the Rush Hour with MG and Liam. Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. MG, you're going to tell us who finishes fifth on the ladder. We're getting deep into the top eight on your predicted ladder for the upcoming season. But first,
trending now.
Guard dogs. MG, that is the headline on the back page of the Daily Telegraph this morning, as the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs vow to offer better protection to new halfback Kyle Flanagan because, and I quote, "Wade Graham was trying to take my head off on the weekend," Flanagan said, MG.
Yeah, it's a funny one for mine. I must confess, when I sat down and had coffee this morning reading the paper, as my morning ritual goes,
yes.
I don't know whether young Flanagan just put a bigger target on his head by saying this, because we all know that rugby league's a game of bash and barge and of the utmost aggression ever. And look, my role when I was playing was to try and get my hands on the opposing halfback as much as I could, because that would stop their attack in their game is vital, their kicking game there. But most times, obviously, the halfback wouldn't run at me, or if I went looking for the halfback, I would leave a hole in my defensive line that he would exploit and make me look like a dummy. So,
but this,
as Ricky Stewart done a lot of times to me.
MG,
and
this
Alfie Langer did it a lot of times to me.
This tactic of targeting the halfback doesn't seem to be a new one. Surely that is what halfbacks deal with every week.
Yeah, as I said, it's a bizarre story because I don't know what you get out of it. I don't know what you get out of Adam Elliott coming out saying we're now going to be guard dogs on young Flanagan. That goes without saying. That'd be going on at training saying that. You know, mate, we've got your back, and if anyone touches you on the footy field, especially a forward, well, they've got hell to pay, no matter what, because your halfback's your quarterback. Everything starts and finishes with him. And I know that I played at Penrith back in the day, Brandy Alexander was like a god to us. If some other forward laid his hands on Brandy, well, we hadn't done our job.
Mm.
And we'd get our ass kicked from here to Broken Hill. So that this has been going for 115 years, that the halfbacks always try to be targeted. I don't know whether young Flanagan's done himself any favours by saying that Wade Graham was trying to knock my head off. Because Kyle, that's his job, brother. That's his job. He's not doing his job if he's not trying to knock the playmaker's head off.
Okay,
in a legal sort of way.
All well and good for Adam Elliott to come out and say we are going to protect Kyle Flanagan, but obviously they didn't on the weekend. How does Trent Barrett address this with his forwards? I mean, who's the best at it in the comp? Who protects their halves best in the comp?
I think the two grand final teams from last year, Penrith and Melbourne, because that's why they're in the grand final. Their halfbacks basically played the season in dinner suits, both sides, and Trent Barrett should have a real good he should have a real good perspective on that, because he was the attacking coach for the Panthers, so he knows exactly how to keep his playmakers out of harm's way. I don't know whether this is a bit of a ploy from the Doggies. I don't know whether it's a ploy to get referees looking at Dogs playmakers a little bit more than others. Look, it's the footy's around the corner. The footy's around the corner. Things are amping up. Tensions are starting to – people are starting to go, hey, you know what? We're only just over a week away from competition time. And nerves are starting to get a little bit flittery, and I like it. I love it a lot.
Hey, quickly, before we move on from this, does that Dogs pack have the steel to protect Kyle Flanagan for the season?
Well, they're going to have to. I don't know whether they have or not. They know if they have or not. They're sure they have to. They've got to. Every forward pack has got to make it their mission to make sure that their halfback doesn't get touched in any sort of way by the opposing forwards, whether that's a late hit, whether that's a charge down and a kick. And if they do something semi-illegal on your playmaker, that's when you've got every right to rush in and say, hey, not on my watch. Not on my watch.
Bulldogs forwards, I know you listen to the show. Message from the Wild Panther, not on your watch. That's how we roll. MG's predicted ladder coming up next. Who does he think will finish fifth? Find out next. Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. MG, we've got a brand new competition that starts next week.
Yeah.
We're going to tell everybody how they can get involved, how they can win, and boy, it's a prize you want to win, that's for sure.
We love giving stuff to our listeners, don't we?
We do. We absolutely do. Speaking of giving stuff to our listeners, we need to give them the next stop on your predicted ladder for the 2021 season. So far in your top eight, and if you want to check out the bottom eight, you can head to triplem.com.au to see who MG has missing the finals this year. But you had the Tigers in eighth, the Titans in seventh, the Eels in sixth. So today...
Ladder.
MG's ladder.
Yeah, today in fifth position are the juggernaut of the Roosters. Last year they came fourth and had a good year considering they lost two of their key players in Radley and Sam Verrills pretty early on for the season. They were bundled out by the Penrith in the first week, 29-28, and then they got beat by the Raiders at the SCG, 22 points to 18 to be knocked out in straight sets, unlike the Roosters, but they did fight tooth and nail with a couple of key players out. Obviously, this year, Liam, it all centres around a couple of teenagers, Suwali and Sam Walker. Joseph Suwali is the X factor at the moment. He's the main man. Everyone's speaking about him. And everyone's speaking about Sam Walker, too, because I think the Roosters have recognised that since Cooper Cronk vacated the premises, number seven is a real problem for them. Young Flanagan didn't work out, and we all know the story is there. He's gone to the Doggies for 3 years. So I look at this back line of Tedesco and Tupu and B Moz on one wing with J Moz and Joseph Manu in the centres, and I get to the 5'8", which is Luke Keary. Then I look at Lachie Lamb at halfback, who is a more than capable player. But I think Sam Walker will be breathing down his back. They've been they're quite quiet in the player market this year, probably resting all their fortune, as I said, on a couple of teenagers, which is a calculated gamble, I would say.
One man they'll be taking no risk with is Captain Boyd Cordner, who's expected to miss a large chunk of the season.
Massive.
You've spoken at length in previous years of just what a different side the Roosters are with him on the field. Obviously, that means Angus Crichton, a lot more is going to sit in his lap this season, early doors.
Yeah, and I think that Butcher will be the other guy as long as Tupanua. They'll get a lot more game time. One of them, I suppose Tupanua, I think will get the starting position with Boyd being out for the first 3 months at least. Trent Robinson is an astute judge of character in the game. I rate him highly, and I rate the Roosters very highly in player welfare.
Yeah, absolutely.
They won't do anything that's going to jeopardise Boyd Cordner's future, and I don't think Boyd would either.
Spot on, MG. Well said, and we obviously a friend of the show, Boyd Cordner, so we wish him all the best wherever he goes from here. Now, the other name you mentioned in there, I think we need to double down on, Victor Radley.
Yeah.
He was setting the competition on fire before his injury, was literally, arguably the best player in the competition, and these rule changes, the scrum, the adjustments to the scrum, the speed of the game, he has the potential to go back to that same position if he comes out firing from round one?
Without a doubt. I think the air got really well and truly let out of the balloon with the injury to Victor Radley, because I know he would have played Origin, and I know that the Roosters would have been a lot higher in the ladder than where they finished if he played the full season. He's just one of them players who's in the game. He's tough. He's skillful. And he's a team player. The other question I probably have to pose is, if Joseph Suwali does get the right ticks of approval, where does he play? You've got Tedesco at fullback, you've got Tupu and Brett Morris on one wing, you've got J Moz and Joseph Manu in the centre. So I suppose it'd be at the expense of one of the Morris brothers, but They're the two of the safest footy players that have ever played the game.
Hard to drop them off the back of their performances last year.
Would they play him as a 14? I don't know. Would he come on as a bench and off the bench and just inject him slowly into the game? And I don't know. But I know that his push to play first grade is amping up. And his irresistible form at the moment as far as potential goes, it can't be overlooked.
All right, so the Roosters to finish fifth, and I don't reckon Trent Robinson would mind that prediction, MG, because he just cares about getting to finals.
Well, they are. They're perennial finals footy players under Trent Robinson, and they've had a vast amount of success under him, and I think that'll continue.
I like it. All right, MG's ladder predictions will continue tomorrow. Only four teams to go.
Top four, baby.
Top four, baby, coming up from tomorrow. But very shortly, we are going to be joined by Big Daddy, Lucas Brown, who just wants to punch the snot out of Paul Gallen.
And I suppose vice versa.
Yeah, and Gal, we have to get Gal on if he's allowed to come and talk to us. Lucas Big Daddy Brown will join us shortly. It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
We are going to be joined by Lucas Big Daddy Brown to talk up his fight with Paul Gallen. It's happening in April down in Wollongong, MG. But before we get to that, next week we have a brand new giveaway happening on this show.
Unrivaled AFL access, untold stories. Watch the brand new Amazon original series, Making Their Mark, on Amazon Prime Video from March 12. Now, the Triple M Rush Hour with MG's Make Your Mark.
Yep, if you think you know your AFL, you've got a chance to win $2,000 to spend at Amazon.
How much?
$2,000.
Wow, that's awesome.
$2,000. If you play Make Your Mark with us next week, you can register now at triplem.com.au. We could be calling you, and all you got to know is your AFL, MG. It's as simple as this, right? If you get three questions correct against another contestant, you go into the draw to win a whopping $2,000 to spend online at Amazon. Let's play the game for people. This is how it'll work next week.
Let's give them an example. Let's go.
All right, MG. Who did Tony Lockett play for before the Sydney Swans?
St Kilda.
Correct. Who was GWS Giants' first coach?
Kevin Sheedy.
Correct. Who finished higher on the ladder in 2020, the Giants or the Swans?
That would be the Giants.
MG, you are in the draw to win $2,000, is what I would be saying to you if you were allowed to win this competition, which you're not.
That is Amazoning. That's Amazoning.
I see what you tried to do there. Yes, it didn't quite work.
Amazing Amazoning. Same. Oh, well done, Amazon. Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, the doco is amazing. It comes out later this month. You can check out a trailer for it on our Instagram, at Rush Hour Triple M. Making Their Mark is the AFL doco. It'll be on Amazon. It's incredible. Next week, we start playing this game. You can win $2,000 to spend at Amazon. All you have to do to register, head to triplem.com.au, and we could be getting you involved. And see, even MG can get AFL questions right.
Quick, what are you waiting for? Go register now.
Get online. Click. Subscribe, all that stuff. Hey, up next, this man, he wants to play a game of a different sort. He wants to punch Paul Gallen in the head repeatedly. Lucas Big Daddy Brown joins us up next. Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
The Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. Another boxing fight. MG is the talk of the town. It is Paul Gallen taking on Lucas Big Daddy Brown. Now, what some people might not know about Big Daddy is that he has got a big set of pipes as well. We've had him in studio before, and here's what he laid down for us last time he was with us.
Now something's different, I don't know the reason why. Whenever we separate, I almost want to cry.
Oh, they are the dulcet tones of Lucas Big Daddy Brown, who joins us on the line. Lucas!
How are you, mate? That sounded great.
It did. Oh,
you have a future after your boxing career. You have a big future. Well, it's been settled. The 21st of April, Wednesday the 21st of April in Wollongong, getting ready to rumble against ex-rugby league player and 10-0, Paul Gallen. How do you feel?
Mate, I feel great. Honestly, it's been a little bit too long in between fights, and unfortunately my last fight was November 2019 against Hapuati, so I don't want to leave my career on that note, that's for sure. I'm just pumped. I'm excited. It's been nearly 18 months to fight, so to get into the fight with someone like Gal, who obviously brings bums on seats and all that sort of stuff over six rounds. So it's just going to be a fan-friendly fight. I think it's going
to
be great.
I'm yet to see, and Gail's only new to this game, but I'm yet to see a guy, a fighter who's a better fight promoter than Paul Gallen. I mean, he's got a future once he hangs up the gloves to become a boxing promoter, because, my goodness, every time he steps in the ring, everybody knows about it. And I suppose fighting someone the caliber of you is a big step up for him.
Mate, unfortunately, the problem with Australian boxing is that he's the A side of this particular bout, which I don't mind. I go along with it, and I'll get into his lane, so to speak. But as you said, like, he's a great promoter of the sport and everything else, so I don't mind getting involved. And I think a lot of people are going to know my name more after this fight than they will after my actual world title. So, mate, it is what it is, and this is where we live. So, yeah, I'll run with it.
Now, Lucas, you've had the weigh-in with Gao. You've stood toe-to-toe with the man. The height difference is substantial. The size difference is substantial. Have you ever fought somebody of Gao's stature previously?
I have, and I've actually fought a fellow that was shorter as well. But, yeah, we stood toe-to-toe, but definitely not eye-to-eye, that's for sure. mate, he seems like a really lovely bloke, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the fight game, there's going to be a lot of banter backwards and forwards and everything else. And we've got to say things and then probably just shake hands at the end of it. Yeah, respect. When all is said and done, you know?
Lucas, I mean, knockouts, that's what you do. Yes. Did you watch the Hunt v. Gallen fight? Did you see that punch that Gao took on the chin?
I did, mate, and unfortunately, I wasn't in, like, yeah, Gao fought the normal fight that Gao would fight, and I was quite impressed. Like, he comes forward, he's very constant, he's overwhelming, all that sort of stuff, but I was actually disappointed with Mark Hunt, because he did rock it, but he didn't sort of follow up. So I think coming in at 128 kilos wasn't exactly the best idea for him. Where someone like myself, I'll come in at 115, and when I do rock someone, I finish it. There's no questions about it. I swarm, I finish, and end of story.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
You're going to be a busy boy.
MG, I know footballers are doing a lot of the legwork, but I'm loving the Australian boxing scene at the moment. There is plenty going on.
Oh, and Timmy Zhu.
Timmy Zhu, what about that, man? We cannot wait to see this one. Gallen v. Brown, April 21st, Wollongong Entertainment Centre. If you can't get a ticket, and I imagine it'll sell out pretty bloody quick, you need to be watching this one on pay-per-view via Foxtel. Lucas Big Daddy Brown, you're in the airport on the phone, so we wouldn't ask you to do it down the line. So we'll send you out with one of these.
Now something's different. I don't know the reason why. Whenever we separate, I almost want to cry.
Ah.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck with the training, and we can't wait to see the fight.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Thank you.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. We're almost done for your Tuesday show. Now, MG, tomorrow, while we're on air, the Aussie T20 side will be fighting tooth and nail to try and get one back in the series, in the five-game series against New Zealand, which we trail 2-0 at the moment. We are not going well.
Yeah, it's a must win. Very much a must win.
The series is over if we don't. Now, our mate, the other person I'm very concerned for is our mate Aaron Finch, the captain of the T20 side.
He's in a slump.
He's got scores of 1 and 12, I think, so far in this series, scoring just 13 runs. He had a shocking Big Bash tournament with the Renegades. He is not travelling well. He's got the full support of the selectors, which is usually the thing you have just before you get the axe.
Yeah.
But for all my concern, I turn to you, Mark Geyer, because for those that remember, I think it might have even been the last show of the year
last year. We
had Aaron Finch on ahead of the one dayer at the SCG, and here's what you said to him.
You're often the guy that's kind of forgotten in this Australian team, but you know, playing 129 ODIs, 5,000 runs at 41, you've hit the same amount of centuries as Adam Gilchrist, 16, and then done it in half as many games. I mean, your resume speaks for itself, and when you go out the bat tomorrow night against the Indians, I think that'll start a wonderful summer with you. I know you weren't quite happy with your latest 2020 venture, but that's 2020. This is ODIs, and it's a lot longer in the middle, eh?
It's quite interesting you say that, because sometimes you do forget about it when you're working away in the nets and you're not feeling good, you doubt yourself, and it's nice to get that reminder. So thanks, guys.
MG, you have just delivered us a fantastic innings from our skipper tomorrow night. Well done, sir.
You're welcome, Mr. Flanagan, and you're welcome, Mr. Finch. Now,
you're welcome, Australia, MG.
I'd like to be called something. I want to go by another moniker these days. Well, I don't want to be called MG. I want to be called the Cricket Whisperer.
The Cricket Whisperer.
Yeah.
Because for those that aren't aware of what happened literally the following day that MG gave Aaron Finch that pump up.
And he picks it up beautifully. at least get a couple, but it's the first 100 of the summer. It's the first one for Aaron Finch at the SCG as well, and to 17th.
The cricket whisperer.
That's it. I mean, come on. There's my... The proof's in the pudding. You know, sit down on the couch with me and I'll go through any cricketer. Look, Finchie's got to stop playing a bit of, you know, cross-bat stuff. He's got to try and hit more down the field a bit. And it's only little things that he's got to change. But let me say this to Aaron. Okay, Finchie, forget the outside noise. Forget the keyboard warriors who are giving it to you deluxe. That's all they are. They can't touch you. And you know that sticks and stones may break your bones, but names and words will never hurt you. So just get that thick skin happening, brother. Look, you are the Australian captain of this 2020 team for a reason. You're a dogged cricketer. Now, you've got to go out there tomorrow and act like one. In other words, trust the process. Aaron, you're Australia's captain. With that, a lot of kids watching this game tomorrow night, and a lot of us who are in the media, we'd give our left leg to be an Australian captain of any sport. You are the Australian captain of the 2020 side. So get out there and act like one. Lead from the front. If you win the toss, bat. Even on a green pitch, just bat. Just take it on. Do a George Costanza. Do the opposite of everything. Start trying to change different things, Finchie, because it's not working for you, brother. And I'm here to tell you, I am the cricket whisperer. Now get out there and you get another 100. And don't come back here or knock your socks off.
Australia have literally just levelled the series 2-1 off the back of that speech. Yeah, Finchie's going to go out there, top scorer for his country. And we expect a gift basket. Oh, in fact, I want the bat, MG. If we win the game tomorrow and Finchie bats well, I want that bat delivered to your house in Penrith.
He needs a 50. He needs a 50. Come on, Finchie. Come on, brother. We need it. We need this one off from you. Let's go.
Go get it done, Aaron's son. This has been the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan. We got to get out of here.
As always, can't wait for tomorrow. Thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.